I have to disagree with this, which is well known that Gaza was an open prison. No, it was so beautiful. We had so many wonderful places, many we had so many beautiful memories. Everyone went to sleep in Gaza in a safe place. No one went to bed hungry. We were all just supporting each other. We were loving people. We had universities, we had schools, libraries, and everything. It's just we didn't know how lucky we were until we lost everything. That's what would I actually say. It was a wonderful place. I wish if it just stayed that way. Then I would never say that I want to leave Gaza or continue my education somewhere else.
Is Israel committing a genocide?
I would say, killing people and having people die, that's an evil thing. Even if innocent people, I can understand why, because they are fighting over something, but then innocent people are the victims. It's like the people of Gaza are the victims of this war.
I mean, Israel would like to totally empty out Gaza. If Israel had its way, it would totally empty out the whole population of Gaza, letting perhaps a few hundred thousand people stay behind. But it really would like everybody to leave so it
I
can.
think, I think for so many people, they think that the world would be better without Gaza.
Those who are still here, can you read that?
Yeah, and this is actually the poem I shared with that professor who told me that I should get it published.
Please read it.
Yeah. Just a minute. So, those who are still here have no homes, and the homes that are still standing have no people. We have become strangers to our land, houses empty with no voice inside. And if you ask me, what is left in here? You'll see ashes and bodies buried deep down. They could not make it to any place of escape. Their souls went to the skies without saying goodbye. It's you and me again in this place, but you are the only one I seem to recognize. I look at the sunset, and it has never looked like this before. Why is the horizon so bright? Why is there no reflection of the sun anywhere? Where are the trees and laughter of streets? When did this become apparent desert? Where is our home? Maybe we are on the wrong street. Let's turn around. Maybe we will see it there. But when we look, we see no streets, no marks, no houses. I thought you had taken everything with you when you ran away. I left, but I never said goodbye. I want to water my mint plant one more time. I want to sleep in my room one last time. I want to gather with my family one more time. I want to hug my teddy bear again. I want to walk up the stairs one last time. I heard they were competing over who would destroy more. I wish they had left our half-standing house. Did they count it as one, or was it just stones for them? It had my memories. And it was the witness that I had been there.
Lama Al-Kharazin is a poet in Gaza. She's actually speaking to us from Gaza City. It seems like a miracle. How do you get internet?
Well, you buy these little cards, each one for like 8 hours. You have access to it. And if you want better internet connection, then you have to buy the more expensive one. So I had the most expensive one for this meeting.
Is that Elon Musk who's providing you with internet service?
No.
No.
It's like a company here in Gaza that provides internet services.
Okay. I'm relieved to know that there is some semblance of life kind of going on in Gaza. The people of Gaza are unbelievably resilient. I mean, the people of Palestine are unbelievably resilient. I've had the pleasure and the privilege of traveling up and down the Palestinian West Bank from Al-Khalil to Jenin over the years, and I've never come across the people who are more generous and more hospitable and more friendly than the Palestinian people. And they're, I mean, you know, Samud, steadfastness is the term. And you guys are really steadfast, aren't you?
Thank you. That's why we are still alive, I think.
What are your plans for
Because
going to the UK or Ireland? You'd like to go to the UK or Ireland to study?
That's where I hope to continue my master education. But the thing is, getting to the UK has become now very hard. I have already received virtual scholarships from universities like Leicester and Glasgow from in the UK, but I had to pay like full tuition fees for it, and that was I was not lucky with it. And then you with the visa things, and it was really like impossible for me to get that. Although I had unconditional offers from so many universities in the UK, I just didn't manage to have the tuition fees for it.
And so this is your zine. You're hoping to raise funds to help you leverage your studies in the UK.
Yeah, but it's not only for that. As I told you, I have returned to Gaza City now through my zine. I'm hoping to support my family who are still in Al Mawasi, and as well support my life here in Gaza while also securing an education. I felt that if I couldn't continue my education somewhere else outside of Gaza, then I want to do it here to continue my education here when chances allow, because traveling has been now an obstacle. It's like it's not something I can pursue or reach easily. Only if I get a fully funded scholarship, that's my only way to study outside.
Lama, we've been challenging the gods with this internet connection. The internet gods have been challenged. They've blessed us so far. So why don't you read one last, a final poem, Gaza Today, Tomorrow, Forever. It's I can't say that it's the most optimistic poem that I've read.
Thank you. So, Gaza, today, tomorrow, forever. I loved Gaza. I loved it with all my whole being. I loved its streets, its corners, its houses. I loved its people, its trees, its sunsets. And above all, I loved Gaza's beach. The sound of the waves, the salt in the air, it felt like home. Gaza has been defending itself alone since the beginning. It was strong, unshaken. Every time thunder struck, it rose again, gathered its broken pieces, and stood tall. But this time was different. This time, nothing remained the same. There is nothing left in Gaza. And its people, they have given up. They are too tired to fight, too tired to hope. And now they have started to blame Gaza for what happened to them. But who will tell them that Gaza has changed, that its beauty has faded, and its youth is gone? Like a soul broken by loss, Gaza longs to rest. Maybe we should let it rest.
Lama Al-Harazin is 24 years old. She studied English Lit and Translation at the Islamic University of Gaza, where she got her degree in September 2023. Used to live in Gaza City. It says here she now lives in Al-Mawasi. She's actually, her family lives in a tent, a nine-person tent in Almawasi. There are five of them living in a nine-person tent, but Lama is living with her husband in Gaza City, and she's hoping to pursue her education and her writing in the UK or in Ireland. This is Lama's first zine. She's working on another one with Coastal Lines Press and one with Sida Press. She writes to make sense of what happened and to reach other people with her words. And you've done that just now. Lama Al-Harazin, last thought. Would you like to share a final thought with people who are listening?
Thank you so much for having me today, and it's such I hope to continue my journey with writing and to document the life here in Gaza and share it with the world, because I believe we deserve to live and to keep hoping and dreaming of a better future and a better life. And may my words reach you. Thank you.
Lama Al-Harazin is a member of the Zines from Gaza Collective. She received a degree in English Lit and Translation at the Islamic University of Gaza in September 2023, a month before Hamas's daring assault on southern Israel and the start of the U.S.-Israeli genocide campaign, now past its 1,000th day. Lama has produced one zine to date, a collection of 21 poems entitled Rain Was Once a Promise. She hopes to continue her education in the UK or Ireland. Help her out. Lama's zine is accompanied by a QR code leading to a Chuffed support page. We'll post that code at greenplanetmonitor.net. You are listening to the Green Planet Monitor. I am David Kattenberg. East Central Africa, land of a thousand hills. The 32nd anniversary of the 1994 genocide has just come to a close. Over the course of those awful 100 days between April 7th and July 15th, 1994, an estimated 800,000 ethnic Tutsis and a lesser number of their Hutu neighbors were brutally killed by Hutu extremists armed with knives, hoes, and machetes. Over the airwaves, venom flowed. Announcers at Radio Television Mille Collines, from Rwanda's popular nickname, the Land of a Thousand Hills, urged listeners to kill the cockroaches. RTLM chiefs distributed cheap pocket radios to stoke the furnace of ethnic hatred, established in July 1993 by Hutu extremists. To create a harmonious development in Rwandan society, it became the genocide's key driving force, mobilizing grassroots members of the notorious Interahamwe militia. I put together this documentary back in 2009 for CBC Radio's Dispatches program. All the people you hear in this documentary have moved on. Gacaca courts ended in 2012. Radio Izuba continues to broadcast in Kibungo, eastern Rwanda. Walking into the studios of Radio Rwanda in bustling Kigali, visiting station manager Willie Rukundo. Back in the early 90s, before the genocide, Radio Rwanda dominated the airwaves, state-controlled, serious. Then, one of Radio Rwanda's technicians and some powerful friends set up a station of their own, RTLM, Radio Free Mille Collines. Hate radio was born, the sharpest weapon in the 100-day bloodbath that followed, next to the axe and machete, spreading lies, inciting murder. When the mayhem ended, RTLM vanished, but Rwandan radio had been transformed. Today, the ghosts of hate radio haunt these halls.
Today, many journalists in Rwanda seem to be haunted by the spirit of RTLM. If you just go on the microphone, You are always very cautious. What am I saying? Won't people misinterpret what I'm saying? And that is the spirit of authoritarianism that is haunting today's Rwandan journalists, especially radio journalists. So today we are using the same instrument to heal the wounds that this radio station participated in inflicting on our people.
The ghosts of genocide are here too, wandering the campus of Rwanda's National University. In the lovely University Arboretum nearby, the bodies of students and professors lie in shallow graves. In the classroom of a charming building designed by a priest from Quebec named Levesque, students study the role of radio in the 1994 genocide and the importance of ethical journalism today. But when young announcers sit behind a mic at one of Rwanda's new commercial stations, their aim is to entertain, not exorcise ghosts.
Good evening, everybody. This is Double D, and you're back here with Domino in the studio on this beautiful Saturday evening. This female has decided to select some of the best tracks in town for you to take you on this Saturday night. I'm going to play you a track, reggae artist. They're called Inner Circle, and the song is called Girl, I Wanna Make You Sweat. Let's hope this is what the music will do to you tonight. Otherwise, stay tuned, and we'll be right back. I've been watching you.
Okay, my name is Sylvia Cassano. I'm 23 years old. What got me into radio? I was looking for employment, and all these new private radio stations were coming up in Rwanda. And somebody said to me, you know, you're bilingual, why don't you give it a shot? At our station, we try to not talk too much about the genocide. Anything you're going to use to promote anything, first of all, you've got to make it appealing to the public. Something attractive to them, something that they want to listen to.
Then there's Radio Izuba, Rwanda's first community broadcaster. Based in the eastern town of Kibungo, Izuba wants to do more than just entertain. It wants to promote truth-telling, reconciliation, good governance, and development. There's a prison next door to Radio Izuba. Behind its red brick walls, a chorus of voices rises. Many of these prisoners are locked up on genocide charges. Within earshot of their songs, Izuba station manager Clement Kirenga tells a visiting Canadian journalist about Radio Izuba listener clubs and village reporters who help gather news.
They collect news from the community, bring it to us, we broadcast it, and then they go back to the community, ask them, how did you conceive the programs of Radio Izuba? How would you like them changed? Mm-hmm. In order for the radio to suit, to broadcast programs that suit their ideas, that reflect their ideas down there.
Are they journalists?
They are local journalists, as I can say. They are not journalists according to the law, but because they don't have all that paper qualifications, but they are just there. We've trained them. We've given them 3 rounds of training to know the basic principles of collecting news. We've trained them on how.
Where are we going, Clément? Where are we going?
We are going to Mirenge. They're a district of Mirenge, Kibungo province. We are visiting some members of listeners' clubs working with the Radio Izuba. They work as local reporters. It's a very important aspect in having the community radio. These are people part of the communities, so they trust them more than anyone else who would come with tape recorders. So it's very easy to give them news, even their top secrets.
Wow, what is this we're passing?
Oh, it's a Catholic thing. It's a sacrament.
Hey, So do these folks listen to Radio Izuba?
Yeah, we can ask them.
Pardon.
They like it because it belongs to them. It's radio proximity.
They also like Mseki Way. It's a program about reconciliation. There's one guy called Rutaganya. He was a leader whereby he was mobilizing the citizens to go and kill their neighbors. Now he's saying that it's not good to mobilize people to kill their neighbors.
And he heard that on this program?
Museke Weya.
In the shade of a rural settlement not far from the border with Burundi, 100 men and women have gathered for Gachacha, a traditional village court for local genocide cases. A woman is testifying about the murder of her young son, a Tutsi. The woman's mother, the boy's grandmother, was one of those who turned him in for slaughter. Clement Kirenga and other Izuba folks are here, reporting. The crowd is aware of their presence.
It's like a habit now. People don't talk. They don't testify on what their role in genocide. But when the radio gets there, they say, okay, today I'm going to talk just because the radio is here. I know I can't be victimized. So both sides were like, they were happy about the presence of the radio.
Radio Izuba is here too, a genocide remembrance ceremony.
Where we are now, just a few meters away, there's a site where there's buried 500 people that were perished in 1994 genocide. So the role of Radio Izuba is to broadcast the testimonies of the survivors in order to know that genocide happened and it will never happen again.
I record a bit, then switch my recorder off. Within seconds, the woman sitting in front of me, possessed by the demons of rape and murder, erupts into hysterics. A group of men carry her off, her arms and legs flailing. Then, another woman loses it. She's carried out, too.
When you just read the history of Rwanda, it was quite distorted, and that is why genocide occurred in this country. So when you put the history of Rwanda in its proper context, you are trying to bridge that gap between the Hutus and Tutsis. In reality, they had no great differences, and so there was no need of conflict and fighting that ended up in genocide.
I like that idea that, well, you can call me and tell me what you're thinking, and then we can have a national debate about it. And while we're having that debate, everyone else can listen in, and there's a sort of something that connects us all through radio.
Hate radio changed Rwanda forever. Never had the media been used so effectively to poison people's minds and get them to kill. Today, Rwandan broadcasters use many of the same tricks, either to mobilize for peace or simply to entertain, banishing the spirits of those awful 100 days. I'm Dave Kattenberg in Kibungo Province, Rwanda. Ghosts of Hate Radio, produced by yours truly for CBC Radio's Dispatches program back in 2009. Before signing off, we'll leave you with another poem by Noor Abu Mariam. Grief came to me like a monster. Noor is a poet and zine publisher based in Gaza, one of 38 writers in the Zines from Gaza roster.
Grief came to me like a monster, and I felt like my hands were tied. The news came after I climbed the stairs home after a long, exhausting day. I found so many of my loved ones gathered in my uncle's apartment, crying, making frantic phone calls. At first, I didn't understand. But then, I heard someone say, "Al-Shifa Hospital is." It was like that monster stabbed me with a knife. I know I had lost someone from my family. In a voice trembling with fear, I asked, "Who?" They answered, "Your Aunt Nihad has been martyred." I couldn't process the news, but I remained calm at first. I had to tell my father. How would I tell him that his sister had been killed? I don't know how. I climbed the stairs to our apartment to face my family. I kept repeating the news to myself. I still hadn't grasped it. I told my mother. She cried out in a broken voice, "No." This new reality could not be. But the news kept echoing in my head without pause. I remained in that state for 5 days until I finally realized I would never see her again. He would not visit her during Eid. She would never sit on that couch again. She would never smile at us again. Her face is still etched in my eyes, and it will stay with me forever. Loss, fear, and death have never left me since you deported my dear aunt. I can't control my fear.
Noor Abu Mariam reading Grief Came to Me Like a Monster. Noor is a poet and zine publisher based in Gaza, one of 38 writers in the Zines from Gaza collective. Help Noor out. Click on the QR code for her Chuffed campaign at greenplanetmonitor.net. GPM spoke with Noor the other day at length. We'll share that conversation next week. That's it for today's GPM, a joint production of Earth Chronicle Productions and 93.3 CFMU-FM, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Thanks to our news editor, Kylie Wong. Listen to, read, and watch more Earth stories at greenplanetmonitor.net. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Blueberry, and on Canada's Harbinger Media Network. I'm David Kattenberg. Over and out for now.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Ever tease a girl, even when she tells you to stop?
Ever playfully hit or slapped a girl or a woman?
Ever call a woman stupid?
Ever believe a woman who is hit deserves it?
Don't be that guy. This message is brought to you by ANPAVA, and supported by Women and Gender Equality Canada.